Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." And again, in verse 3 down through verse 23, then he preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting in verse number 24, if you'll go down there, we see two very different reactions to the preaching of the gospel. Verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." Notice as he turns his attention now from Festus to King Agrippa. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul," by the way, folks, one of the saddest words in all of the Bible. There it is right there. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Verse 29, "And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning. Almost. He almost got saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we focus on this word, dear God, and the consequences of this word, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts. If there's someone here without Christ, Lord, I pray that they will not be as Festus and scorn the preaching of the gospel. I pray they would not be as Agrippa, who respected it but did not receive it. Almost, Lord, may that not be the story. I pray, dear God, that you'd cause someone, Lord, who needs you to come to you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I believe this morning we've read in these verses the saddest word in the Bible. It was a word spoken by a man by the name of King Agrippa. The sad word that he said that day was the word almost. Almost. The statement we find this word in is this: almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to present to you an argument, maybe three arguments today. I want to present to you the reasons I believe that this very well could be the saddest word in all of the Bible. Number one, almost is the saddest word in the Bible because God had sent King Agrippa a spirit-filled soul winner. A spirit-filled soul winner. Who is witnessing to King Agrippa that day? Well, it's none other than the Apostle Paul. Paul may have been the greatest personal soul winner in all of the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent a preacher to tell a king. He sent our preacher to tell a king how to become a Christian, how to go to heaven. By the way, Paul does a wonderful job of this in this chapter of witnessing. Like I said, he could have spent this entire time from verse 3 to verse 23 pleading for mercy or pleading his innocence or advancing his cause. But you know what? He chose instead to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his personal testimony. I think Paul did everything in his power. I like the word here, to persuade these unsaved men and women to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yet, despite the Apostle Paul's heartfelt, spirit-filled effort, King Agrippa says, almost. Almost. You think about this, in every generation since then, God has called preachers to preach the gospel. You know what, folks? I listened to my dad, come on, for 40 years, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen a lot of men and women and children and teenagers respond to that by walking the aisle and receiving Christ. But I also seen a lot of people sit in the pews of this church and almost get saved. Almost get saved. Think about that. Many get saved, but many others say almost. In every generation since King Agrippa, you know what? God has sent Sunday school teachers to teach the gospel. Children's church preachers have preached Jesus Christ. Church members, think about this, have passed out hundreds. And I mean this, folks, we have passed out hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts. in this little 5-week stretch, we're going to flood the community with 5,000 chick tracts. Folks, listen to me. It's not that we don't have soul winners out there getting the gospel. Soul winners have knocked on every door in our community numerous times. And thank God, I want to say this. A handful, a few people get saved. But can I say this? The majority just saved almost. Almost. In America, we're surrounded by Bibles. Bibles are everywhere. Gospels preached on the radio, on the television, on the internet. There's gospel preaching churches in almost every community. If you live in America, listen, if you failed to be saved, it's nobody's fault but your own. It's not that God hasn't got the word out. What are you going to respond? What are you going to say? Are you going to say almost, almost, and then walk out of here lost again? Who has God sent to you? Come on. Did he send a bus worker to your house yesterday to invite you to come to church? Did he send a bus driver to your home to pick you up? Did he send a soul winner by to knock on your door? Is it somebody that works with you that's a Christian that's been talking to you and trying to get you to listen to the gospel? Is it a grandma that's been praying for you, a grandpa that's been praying for you, a mom, dad that's wept tears over you? Are you going to once again just say almost, almost? I think maybe it's the saddest word in the Bible because of the fact that God did send the Apostle Paul, a spirit-filled soul winner, with the message. Number two, almost is the saddest word in the Bible because Agrippa was under Holy Spirit conviction. Now think about that. In this story, we see two men with two different reactions to the preaching of the gospel. There was another important man there that day. He was a governor by the name of Festus. How did Festus react to the story of Jesus Christ? He shouts out, think about this, interrupt the preacher, shouts out in the middle of the sermon, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." I don't see much evidence of Holy Spirit conviction in Festus. He's a scorner. He's one that is a Christ denier. He thinks the whole thing's a joke. He's just laughing it off. Matter of fact, what he's literally saying, if we were to translate it into maybe our vernacular today, would be this: "Paul, you've lost your mind. You're just a crazy preacher." Festus ridiculed the preacher, dismissed the message of salvation as the testimony of a madman. By the way, there will always be some that respond to the gospel that way. Let me just say this to our soul winners and our bus workers and our Sunday school teachers and you young preachers that are getting started. Listen, never let that discourage you. Never let that dissuade you. You're going to have a certain number of people that mock the Bible and mock the existence of God and mock you and call you a fool and a madman for believing the Bible. Don't worry about it. Too many young people are going to end up in hell because they're too worried about what their friends think about Jesus or church or salvation. There's always going to be those that respond that way. If you have friends who make fun of the Bible, you're going to have friends sometimes that call religion a crutch. They'll mock the preacher. They'll ridicule you for coming to church. Listen, if you've got friends that are doing that, you've got the wrong kind of friends. Okay, they're not your friends. By the way, come to church and get a whole new set of friends. Amen. If they don't get saved, they'll end up in hell. But wait a minute, are you going to go there with them because you're worried about what they're going to say about you? Think about you. We see that King Agrippa had a different reaction to the gospel. You know what? He didn't mock Paul. I think he had a certain amount of respect for Paul. You know what? I think to a certain extent he believed what Paul was saying, but is he willing to receive it? You must not only believe it, you must receive it. And you know what? Agrippa made his decision. He said to Paul in verse 28, "Almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And you think about this, folks. God was working on King Agrippa. Holy Spirit was convicting him. I've seen it. Come on, you've seen it. Boy, you can see it from the pulpit so many times. I've watched during invitations. I've literally watched men grip the back of a pew and just almost there shaking and tremble under the conviction of God, knowing that they ought to go forward, knowing that they ought to get saved, knowing that if they die, they're going to go to hell. And the devil sitting on their shoulder saying, "Don't go forward. Everybody will think you're a fool. It'll get spread all over the community that you got religion. What's your friends going to say?" Listen, folks, listen to me. When you're burning 100 years from now, when you're burning on in hell, you're not going to care anything about that. You're going to look back and say, "Why did I care what they thought?" Listen, don't be that way. If you're under conviction and God's working on you and he's given you the opportunity and brought you to the place and sent a preacher to preach the gospel and God's working on your heart and convicting you, don't walk away saying, "Almost, almost." He was convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. I know what that feels like. I know what it is to walk into a church lost. I know what it is to hear the gospel. A Sunday school teacher and a children's worker, and I was just a young man, the preacher preaching on heaven and preaching on hell and preaching on sin. And you know what? I'd sometimes think, what is going on inside of me? I didn't understand what Holy Spirit conviction was. Do I have heartburn? Am I sick? Why do I feel this way? Why am I suddenly so frightened? And listen, folk, there's not a man in the world that can use words in such a way that can produce that. That is a divine thing. That is a supernatural thing. Preacher, what is this? This is God working inside of you. His voice speaking to you. His voice pleading to you. God loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He sent his son to die on the cross so you don't have to go to hell. But he's not going to make you. You have to decide. You have to decide. I know what that felt like. And by the way, I remember finally sitting there long enough and feeling that way long enough. I remember going home after church and laying awake night, staring up at the ceiling, wondering what happened. What's going to happen if I die? Well, what if I die before I have a chance to get saved again? And I remember God working on my heart over and over, and thank God for the Sunday. I just said, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. I want to make sure this thing's settled in my life. And I stepped out of my pew and walked down the aisle and knelt down with the preacher, and he opened the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And I, listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's made a promise. He's made it easy. You know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He finished the work. All you got to do is put your faith and your trust in him. You can be saved today. Don't almost be saved. God used Philip Bliss to write a song with the title, Almost Persuaded. The words go like this: almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I will call. Almost persuaded harvest is past. Almost persuaded doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Listen, sad that bitter well, almost but lost. Saddest word in the Bible, because you know what? God sent a spirit-filled preacher. Saddest word in the Bible because King Agrippa was under Holy Spirit conviction. But you know what he said? Not today. Not today. I don't think the devil, I don't think he seldom, if ever, tells somebody to never get saved. I think he always just says, just not today. Hey, you can just live a little bit longer. You know, enjoy your sin just a little bit more. You know, that a man that intends to be saved at the 11th hour, he intends to be saved at the 11th hour, often dies at 10:30. You know what, folks, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. I remember my dad telling the story of witnessing to a couple who had visited his church in Cambridge, Maryland, when he went out there years ago to start a church in Cambridge, Maryland. And this man was under conviction. He could tell when he left the church. His wife was a scorner. His wife sat back and laughed and mocked during the preaching. But my dad could see that that man was under conviction. So the next day he went to the man's house and he sat in his living room with him. And he began to go through the gospel with him and show him how to be saved. And his wife was in the kitchen busy and clattering dishes and clattering pans and was mad that the preacher was there. And when it came down to dad getting to the point where he's drawing the net and telling this man how to be saved and telling him and pleading with him to pray, this woman finally comes running into the room and literally comes up behind him as he sat there on the couch and put her hands over his ears like this to keep him from listening, and said to my dad, stop telling him how to be saved. We're happy the way we are. We like living the way we are. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. And that man that was on the verge of salvation shook the hands off his wife's ear and looks at the preacher now with a hardened heart and says, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. You need to leave. My dad said, I watched that man walk right up to heaven's door, right up to heaven's door, and then turn around and walk away. He was almost saved. Let me give you point number three. Almost is the saddest word in the Bible because of the eternal consequences of that decision. There's an old saying, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Well, I don't know if that's true, but I know this, almost doesn't count in salvation. One preacher, I mentioned this, people who expect to get saved at the 11th hour often die at 10:30. You better not put off. If God's giving you an opportunity today to get saved, better not put it off. Hey, listen, I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised the rest of this day. And you know what? You can walk through any cemetery. Go ahead, laugh, scorn, mock. It doesn't matter. You can walk through any cemetery and find that. You know what? It isn't just old people that die. If you read the dates on the tombstones, you'll find that children die and teenagers die and young couples die. And folks, what we better understand is if God's given you the opportunity to be saved, you ought not to walk away from it. Amen. We have no record in the Bible of Agrippa ever again receiving an opportunity like this one he had that day. There's no record of the king getting saved. Can you imagine now, many years later now, folks, can you imagine him in hell? Come on, take a minute and picture him. He's begging alongside the rich man for a drop of water. Can you see him shouting towards heaven? Come on, God, have mercy. I almost got saved. I almost got saved. Can you picture him one day before God at the great white throne judgment? God, please. Come on, I knew the apostle Paul. I talked to him. He told me Jesus was the Savior of the world. I mean, can't you show a little mercy? I mean, I almost got saved that day. I came real close. I even said the word almost. Shouldn't that count for something? The answer Agrippa will receive is one we that's still here on earth better consider, because this is the answer he will hear. Almost saved is forever lost. Almost saved is forever lost. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? I mean, could you give me a Bible answer? If I was to ask you, can you give me a Bible answer of why God should let you into heaven? If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven and you have a Bible reason that you could give me why you know that for sure? Listen, growing up in church isn't going to get you to heaven. Having a mom and dad that are Christians aren't going to get you to heaven. Grandma and grandpa being a Christian is not going to get you to heaven. You can dig out from your baby book that little baptismal certificate, but if that's what you put your faith and trust in, that's not going to get you to heaven. You can join every church in Greene County, and that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Because, folks, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Person has to realize that they're a sinner. And you know what? They have to feel Holy Spirit conviction over that sin, sorrow over that sin. And you know what, folks, listen to me. We are sinners, but that's why God sent Jesus to die. If we stand before God in our sins, never having been saved, then we're going to have to spend eternity in hell paying for our sins. But that's not what God wants. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. And you know what? He died that day, but he was buried, and 3 days later, he defeated death and rose again from the dead. So now you have a Savior who has paid for your sins. You have a Savior who has defeated death and can offer you eternal life. And all he wants you to do is come to him with a humble heart and simply say, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. But you know what? I choose this day to believe Jesus Christ, to believe in him as my Savior, to believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection. I'm going to put my faith and trust in what Jesus did for me, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask him to be my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, it really is that easy. If the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart right now, don't say almost. Don't say almost. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around. I wouldn't embarrass anybody. Preacher, God is speaking to my heart, and I can't tell you that I know 100% that I go to heaven, and I know that I need to be saved. Preacher, would you just pray for me that I make the right decision this morning? I'd like to pray. By the way, I won't name your name. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. Nobody's going to come get you. That's not what we do here. Well, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand right now? Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I see that hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. God's working on my heart. All right, very good. There's another hand right there. God bless you. Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I need to get that taken care of. All right, I see those two hands. You young ladies that raised your hand, as soon as we begin to play the piano, I want you to step from your pew, and I want you to come over. and to the nearest pew, and I want you, or the nearest aisle, I want you to come up here and see Brother Brian right here, standing right here. He'll get someone to show the Bible, take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in these two hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're so excited when you do this. God, give them the courage to come. Lord, I pray for Children's Church, Primary Church, even now as the messages are winding down and the invitation is given. Lord, if there's anyone without Christ as their Savior, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts right now, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, for these two, that they'd be saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name.